possible consequence of a debt-based system. First, the government goes bankrupt, and then all the people go bankrupt. And then what do you got? Foreign control. That's what you got. And so the people have to take that responsibility for restoring those economic systems. Create our own money systems, local scripts, get back to gold and silver-backed economies, breadbasket of commodities, the things that are really important, food, shelter, medicine, good neighbors. Those are the things that are important when you have an economic downturn. Some of you may be old enough to know the Great Depression. I certainly am not. But if those days come again, are we going to be prepared? You know, I have a lot of faith in human beings. I just got back from Portland with all the floods and everything. When there's a crisis, people come out, and they're out there on the line, and they're out there filling the sandbags. Are we prepared to fill the sandbags when the economy collapses? Because if we're not prepared, and not prepared to do it not just for ourselves and our families and our neighbors, we're going to have civil unrest. We're going to have social violence in the streets like you wouldn't believe in America. Because we got very spoiled here in America. And we stopped knowing how to do the basic things like planting seeds, growing food, basic skills with your hands. These are the things that are important. Whether the economy collapses or not, these are important things. Because it gives you a measure of self-reliance. It gives you a measure of ability to take creativity and power and productivity into your own hands. So you don't have to be dependent on someone else. Take care of us. So summarily, I'm just going to conclude here, and then we can open up for some questions and some dialogue. But just in conclusion, we have the opportunity in America today to rediscover this country. Just think about it. History isn't something that happened 200 years ago. History is something that's happening today. History's in the making right now. Are you going to be a part of it? During the first American Revolution, only 5% of the American people really participated. The other 95% were sitting laying back on their porch, chawing tobacco. Oh, it could go either way. You know, Americans are British. Today, 95% of the American people are sitting in front of the television set doing the same darn thing. Do we have 5% of the people willing to stand up and actually reclaim their sovereignty, restore lawful government, and due process, and build a new millennium, this time with sovereignty for all the people? That's what my vision is. Thank you very much.
Our government enforced the Constitution and the lawful laws of this land. We're going to let Johnny talk pretty much uninterruptedly for about an hour and 15 minutes. We probably figure on about a two-hour program approximately tonight. So we'll let Johnny talk, and at the end of that time, at about 8:15, we'll open it up for questions, because I'm sure by then there'll be a lot of them, and we'll spend 45-50 minutes or so doing our best to answer questions. And with that, I'd like to introduce Johnny Liberty.
Well, thanks everyone for coming out tonight. It's really encouraging to see a larger group coming out in the Eugene-Springfield area than I'm accustomed to. I've been doing seminars in my own hometown for the last couple years, but the groups have been very small, which is fine, because we've been honing a small group of people to learn in depth the nature of the history of America, the nature of the Constitution, the nature of our political, economic, and legal systems. So I'm real encouraged to see that there's a larger group taking an interest now in my own hometown. You know how the old adage goes that you don't get any respect in your own hometown. You have to go travel all around the world. And I've been traveling all over, and as Tim was saying, doing seminars for the last 4 years now to about 30,000 different people from every walk of life, old and young, and rich and poor, and black and white. I've done seminars in the inner city in Oakland. I've been to Hawaii and worked with the Hawaiian sovereignty movement extensively. I've traveled in rural areas and urban areas. And every place that I go, and regardless of who I talk to, people have the same concerns. They have the concerns that a way of life that we call America, or the way of life that we call freedom and liberty, is being encroached upon. And that more and more, every day, there are more laws and rules and regulations and controls and police and prisons, etc. And people are afraid that their way of life, that their pursuit of the American dream, is coming to an end. And it's out of that concern that people come to these seminars, because we the people do not understand any longer the nature of our own system, the nature of America, our own history, and how it was founded, and on what basis, what are the principles underlying the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, what is due process under the law, and why does there seem to be a double standard between what is expected of us as citizens and what is expected of our representatives and public officials, that there appears to be a double standard, and that we would like to see one standard for all people. And so tonight, in the brief time that we have, usually we have a 3-hour seminar just to lay the basic conceptual groundwork, because there's a lot of catching up to do. A lot of what we've learned in school, a lot of what the media portrays, not only what they portray us to be, but also what they portrayed America to be, is simply false. And so each one of us at some point in our life has to learn to distinguish between what's true and what's a projection, or what's a fantasy, what's an illusion. Something that is broadcast over television is very different than reality. And we have been brainwashed and indoctrinated and programmed in a certain way of thinking and a certain reality for a very long time, for generations. And so slowly over time, as we look out over America, we see that the direction of this great land is changing. And in the words of an old Chinese proverb, if we don't change our direction, we're likely to end up where we're headed. And a lot of people feel that where we're headed is not a good place. And so it's time to take a reflection, take a look back, and to see where we've been in the United States of America. What is our real history, our true history? Not just what we're taught about in the history books. So tonight, briefly, we're going to look at some of these topics. We're going to look at sovereignty, because sovereignty is the key concept around which all political, economic, and legal systems revolve. And if we do not understand the nature of sovereignty, the nature of our own sovereignty as an individual human being, then we cannot understand our true relationship to the state, to the government, to the political systems, to how economic systems work, and for whom, and the legal systems. A lot of people that come to these seminars are people that are hurting in some capacity, or they found that they've been good citizens all their life, and they've paid their taxes, and they've done everything right, and they've done it by the book. And then at some point in their life, they find that they're under attack in some capacity, and surprised that that can happen in America. They may be engaged in litigation in the court system, expecting to find justice, expecting to find due process. Instead, they find just the contrary, and are disappointed and hurt by that. Because we have great expectations in America. We have great expectations and very high principles. That's something that I find that most Americans have in common, is that if you look around the room, we don't know exactly what kind of job we might have, or what political philosophy we have, or whether we're Democrat or a Republican, or whether we're from the left or from the right, or whether we're Christian or Jew. We really don't know. We're one big country with a lot of different views, a lot of political views, a lot of religious views. We're a very diverse, multicultural country. And it's time for us to grow up in the human race, to grow up and to accommodate all the diversity that we are. And sovereignty is a path for doing that. It's a means for accomplishing just that. So we're going to talk about sovereignty briefly, a little bit about the distinctions of citizenship, and the nature of political, economic, and legal systems tonight. This is an introduction. Tonight is meant to be educational. It's not a press conference, so I'm not pleasing the press with 8-second sound bites tonight. I appreciate the press being here or anyone else who may be here in their private or public capacity to please, to listen and to learn, because that's what we're about. We're an educational group and an educational network. And the rising and growing patriot movement in this country comes out of the love of our country and the love of our laws and the love of our Constitution and our way of life. And it's from that basis that we move forward into the next millennium. So let's look at sovereignty briefly, because sovereignty is a concept that's foreign to most of us. Most of us have never heard the word. We've probably taken civics classes or government classes. There may even be PhDs amongst us who have never, ever understood or learned about sovereignty. The nature of sovereignty is that it is innate to every human being. Sovereignty is that innate will to freedom that every child born in this world has, this will for not only being free, but for challenging authority. Any of you who have ever been a parent know that your children, very young, begin challenging your authority. They have this innate will. They want to explore and test out new theories and new experiences and new ways of life. And most of us learn very, very young when we confront that authority, which is first the parents, and then maybe our schools and the church, and then ultimately the state becomes that authority that stands there and tells us, no, you can't do that. You can't do that without a license. You can't do that without a permit. You can't do that because it isn't nice. And so most of us, before we were of legal age, that innate sovereignty was already surrendered to some other power, to some other authority outside of ourselves. Part of reclaiming our sovereignty is about reclaiming that innate will to freedom that every child has, and to start thinking for ourselves. Start making up our own minds. Don't take my word for it. Don't believe anything that I say tonight. Check it out for yourself. Some of the assertions that I'll make and that I've made in the books, etc., are backed up by the public record. These are not theories. They're not conspiracy theories. If there's a conspiracy, and I concur that there is a conspiracy of ignorance and fear. And all of us share in that conspiracy. Whenever we're guarding our beliefs and guarding our positions, it's time to let down our guard just a little bit, because if you don't, you can't learn anything. The Creator, God, Great Spirit, whatever you want to call it, gave us two ears and one mouth so that we could listen twice as hard, twice as much as we speak. It's a good rule of thumb if you want to learn anything. And so I encourage all of you to just take this time tonight and just open up just a little bit. There was a time when everybody believed the earth was flat, and they would fight to the death for that position, and they would hang as a heretic anyone who believed the earth was round. Well, that may be similar today. Today it seems like there's a lot of people in the media, people who are willing to hang people who believe in their country and believe in the Constitution, and who trust that the American people, if empowered with the knowledge and the skills, can better self-govern themselves than the system that we have now, which is where we've given that power to government, to the state, to take care of us, to provide for us, etc. So reclaiming your sovereignty is about taking your power back. And in America, this country was founded as a republic. This is a historical fact. It's a form of government, just like a democracy is. It's a form of government, and they're distinct. They're as distinct as night and day, as distinct as male and female, perhaps. The nature of a republic is the sovereignty is vested in the individual. And the nature of a republic is that government comes from the bottom up, not the top down. In a democracy, it's a form of government of majority rule, whereby it comes from the top down, from the government to the people. Now, most of us believe or understand or were taught that America is a democracy. Ever since 1913, people have been teaching us in the schools that we're a democracy. And yet I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. What happened to the republic? What happened to the sovereignty of the people? What happened to the will of the people to self-govern themselves? This country was pioneered with individuals who took that responsibility. and they came out here to Oregon, and they came out to California, and they pioneered this whole country based on that principle that when we the people get together, we can form our own systems of government. And so the republic that we have was formed from the bottom up, and the bottom, the very key element in a republic, is the individual. The individual sovereign citizen, the sovereign individual. And unlike a democracy, which is like majority rule, a democracy runs like this. You've got this part of the room here, 51% gangs up on this part of the room and tries to extort rights and property from them. We've been in a partisanship type of system, Democrats and Republicans. We've always got these polarities going all the time. And in a democracy, you're always at war because there's always one group of people ganging up on another group and extorting their rights and their property. And then the next decade, this group gangs up on this group. And it goes on and on and on, ad nauseum. The difference is, in a republic, every individual has the same unalienable rights. Equal, truly equal rights. Truly equal rights. And thus, if your rights are being tread on in a republic, then I will come and defend your rights, because if your rights are able to be trampled, then my rights are being trampled. And that goes for anybody in this room, anybody in a republic. And so people would come to their aid, come to each other's aid. And that's how they defended themselves against foreign powers or invaders or against the climate or the environment or whatever it might be. But the important principle to get here is the distinction between the Republican form of government and the Democratic form of government. America was founded as a republic and is commonly understood to be a democracy today. We've completely flipped upside down the nature of the constitutional system that was put into place 200 and some years ago. And now, quite obviously, most people are at the effect of government laws, rules, regulations, statutes, etc., controlling every aspect of our lives. Because, one, we've given our power away one little piece at a time. We gave it up. We didn't want to take responsibility, so we gave it up. And we did so sometimes willingly, but more often than not, unknowingly. Most people don't realize when you got a Social Security number that you became a federal government employee, you transferred your power of attorney over to Congress to act on your behalf, and thus to subject you to the rules, the laws, the taxes, and everything else that came as a consequence. It was only one of many ways that we've given up our power to the government. When we hire an attorney, we give them our power of attorney to go and sit in front of that court and take responsibility and to work out the best deal for us. And some of us who've had experiences with attorneys know that oftentimes your best interest doesn't seem to be represented in there. That's because we gave our power away again. So look at your own life and look at all the ways that you've given up your power. Reclaiming your sovereignty is about getting back to the foundations and to stop all this bickering about this civil right or that civil right or this privilege or this benefit or somebody's getting more than me. It sounds like a bunch of children who won't share their toys. And that's the way most adults act today. It's time to become adults also and to take responsibility. Every time you receive a benefit from the government or a privilege, it's at somebody else's expense. The original principle of the republic is that I have no right to have my hand in your back pocket. That's called theft. But if the government has its hand in your back pocket, they call it taxes. It's just another form of legalized plunder. So instead of having a system where everyone can have rights, unalienable rights, which means the kind of rights that cannot be taken away by law, by government. An unalienable right, for example, is the right to walk, to talk, to eat, to breathe, to travel, to engage in relationship, in commerce. These are all unalienable rights of human beings. You can't pass laws to prohibit that. And anytime governments have, those governments have been short-lived, because they violate natural law, they violate the common law, and they violate common sense, or uncommon sense. And so the difference between an unalienable right is a right that cannot be taken away by any statute, by any law, by any rule or regulation. And the civil right is a right that's granted by the government, like a privilege or a benefit to a selected class or group of people at the disadvantage of someone else. So in restoring a constitutional republic, we have to not only restore those principles of self-respect and mutual respect. Now, I want to point out a few historical facts. Because our critics, I know a few of you probably saw the news article in the paper here. Our critics have associated us with racists and bigots and white supremacists and every other insult in the book. There's a couple of different prevailing views about the Constitution that are in dispute here. There is those who interpret the Constitution from that point of the Republic, and there are those who interpret the Constitution from the point of the democracy. Now, presently, in our legal institutions and at the universities and in the government, because the system works very well for them in this so-called democracy, they espouse that the Constitution, in essence, they interpret it very differently than you would interpret it under a republic. Because remember, the assumptions are real different. The assumptions in a republic is that we the people have the power. And it's from we the people that we created the government. In fact, that's a historical fact. It's not a theory. And I'll review that in a minute. In a democracy, top down, that whole view believes that all our rights come from the government. The government decides if you can drive or not, or if you can get married, or if you can do this or do that, or go into business or incorporate. You've got to pay a permit or a fee or a license to do all these things that are natural to us as human beings. So their interpretation of the Constitution is that it's for the government and for the corporations. If you go back to the organic law, and what's organic law? We're often said that we want to go back to the organic common law, etc. Well, it's not quite like that. It's not that we want to go back, we just want to retrace our roots of where we came from so we can come forward into the modern day. But our country wasn't founded with the Constitution. The federal government was created, but our country was here before the federal government. In fact, we the people were here before the federal government was created. Who created the federal government? We the people created the federal government. In what capacity? In our sovereign capacity. In a republic. And so the organic law is the law that comes before the Constitution. Laws such as the common law that goes back to the Bible, common law that goes back to Britain, the Magna Carta, the Petition of Rights of 1618, where some of the common law was codified, but much of it was verbal. It was passed down orally. It was common sense. And the basic tenet of common law is you don't hurt anybody, you don't injure anybody, and you don't damage or steal their property. And that's what constituted a crime. And so if you didn't damage anyone, if you didn't injure anybody or take their property, you haven't committed any crime. When you don't wear your seatbelt, have you committed a crime? Crime against whom did you damage? Well, nobody. There's a lot of laws, purported laws, or statutes on the books that are purported crimes. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Oregon Revised Statutes, go take a look at the library. It's a big stack like this. That much of it is the penal code. 80% of the laws are political code. Commercial code, violations of permits, licenses, fees, etc., etc. Crimes against whom? The state. Crimes against the state of Oregon. When they issue you a traffic citation, who's supposedly the complainant? The state of Oregon. And so the fact is 80% of the people in our prisons are there for political crimes. They're not there because they murdered somebody or killed or stole something. 80% of them are in jail, in prison today, and we're building more of them for political crimes. America has the largest incarceration rate in the world. 80% of our prisoners are political prisoners. Where is Amnesty International? Silent. There is things going on here in the United States of America that we have to wake up to. So this organic law is that which came before the Constitution. That's where your sovereignty is codified in law. The Declaration of Independence, the Articles of Confederation, the Treaty of Peace with Great Britain, which came after the American Revolution, where it says quite literally, and take the time to read it for yourself, and the citizen shall have the same prerogative as the king. What does that mean? It means that you are of the same stature as a king or a queen in your own land. The American Revolution was fought so that we could free ourselves from the tyranny of British rule, a foreign government. America, we are in exactly the same situation today, 220 some years later. Point by point and word for word, go read your Declaration of Independence and see if you can resonate with a little bit of truth about us being in the same boat today. That's where your sovereignty is codified as the foundation of the American system of law. And so, at the conclusion of the American Revolution and the treaty, then the people, and granted at that time, the citizens, the only ones who could be sovereign citizens at that time were the white male property owners. This is a historical fact. This isn't something that I'm espousing that we do today. In fact, I want to make it very, very clear that the majority of the sovereignty movement, the patriot movement in this country, and I mean an overriding majority, 95% or greater, is not willing to go back to the old white male rule-only system. But sovereignty today, it's either all the people are going to be sovereigns or we're all going to be slaves. It can't be a two-tiered system. It can't be a two-class system. It can't be one set of rights for the whites and one set of rights for the blacks, or one set for the men and one set for the women. That doesn't work. Obviously, look at all the problems it's created. Look at them. Generations and generations of divisions between the people. So I want to make it perfectly clear. There is nothing white supremacist about what we are talking about. There's nothing racist or bigoted or anti-Semitic. I am in this for all of the people. And not just in America, but all of the people in the world. I don't just work with Americans. I work with indigenous people, I work with Hawaiians, I work with other people, and I'm there to try to help them reclaim what they've lost. I'm here to help you. The Citizens for Constitutional Government, the group here, is putting on these educational forums. We're here to help you, to help us restore this constitutional republic and our sovereignty for all the people. Just imagine a world where everyone has full unalienable rights and respects each other's unalienable rights. Americans have been at war for so long that we have forgotten what it's like to be at peace and to be civilized. We have been in perpetual state of war in this country since 1917, and intermittently since the Civil War. The Civil War, by the way, was not fought to free the slaves, as much as our history books would like to tell us. It was fought to destroy the sovereignty of the people and the states. Black America, when they were freed, purportedly freed, were not given the full sovereign citizenship status that the whites enjoyed. They were given the second-class citizenship. Black America has always known that they've gotten the shaft, always, but they couldn't quite put their finger on what it was. And it was a black man that taught me, in fact, a black man that got me involved in the sovereignty movement, because he had studied the Emancipation Proclamation, and he went back to the old archives, and he went back into the old history books. And what he concluded was, instead of the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments freeing the slaves, they made slaves of everyone. And we all became second-class citizens eventually. After the Civil War, the newly freed black slaves became U.S. citizens, a 14th Amendment citizen, which isn't really a citizen at all, by the way. Also, the white Formerly sovereign citizens of the South were prisoners of war after the Civil War. Neither could enter the Union again until they paid allegiance to and became U.S. citizens. They had to give up their sovereignty after the Civil War, the white citizens of the South and the blacks.
Thank you. Thank you.